we're visiting with USDA Deputy Ag Secretary Jewel Bernaugh, the first woman of color to serve in this role. Thank you so much for taking time to chat with the Red River Farm Network. How are things going at the USDA?
Things are going very well. I'm starting into my third week on the job. I was sworn in, and when I was sworn in, Secretary Vilsack, during the swearing in, told my family to look at me one more time because they wouldn't see me for a while. And I think that he meant that. We have been, you know, just head first, and I have enjoyed every minute of it. Thus.
Are you working in D.C. at this time or remotely?
I'm working remotely in D.C. So I'm in Arlington, so I can almost see the USDA building from where I live. I have been in the office a couple of times, one with Secretary Vilsack in the office also last week, but I work mostly from home. So we're still maximum telework as federal agencies here in Washington.
Do you see that changing in the future?
I imagine it is going to change in the future. And so, you know, we work with the White House. We work with Office of Personnel Management and Budget Management to get direction on how to move forward as federal agencies. And so we are, you know, making plans and thinking about how we're going to move to what we would call a traditional reopening. Still a lot of conversations around that. We want to make sure that we do it, of course, as safely as we possibly can. But I envision that the federal government will return to work at some point. We just don't know exactly the date and time.
We know addressing that COVID pandemic is a top priority for the Biden-Harris administration. As you kind of get familiar with some of these USDA programs, have you been briefed on the CFAP program yet?
The CFAP program is just a part of our overall effort in a pandemic assistance that we have, you know, provided for producers. And so to date, you know, we've distributed about $7 billion of assistance to farmers. And that's with the help of the American Rescue Plan, in addition to funding that we had that was pandemic related. And we expect to distribute another $5 to $6 billion over the summer. And in terms of CFAP and that pandemic assistance, you know, early in the year, USDA looked at our pandemic assistance programs and how we were targeting farmers. And we identified some gaps and disparities in how that assistance was distributed. And we looked at the outreach to some farmers who had not received as much assistance, our socially disadvantaged producers, smaller and mid-sized operations, even those with less traditional crops like specialty crops and organic producers. And, you know, we thought that we would need to reopen sign up and specifically provide funding for those audiences that didn't receive the funding in the last year's round of coronavirus assistance program funding. So we've got about $6 billion that's reopened to a larger share of producers. So there's been some expanded outreach and new programs to dairy farmers. We've launched the dairy donation program and assistance for specialty crops, beginning farmers, even our local urban and organic farms, and some payments for upland and extra long staple cotton. And then we've had some funding for existing programs that people have greatly benefited from, like the specialty crop block grant and the Gus Schumacher Nutrition Incentive Program. And I have been personally excited about the support that's been provided around farm stress and assistance. But then we have continued to carry out the formula payments under CFAP 1-2 and the CFAP additional assistance. So we have continued funding that we received that was originally designated by Congress to carry out the CFAP funding with additional assistance to a broader scope of producers who did not benefit from previous rounds of funding.
What is the status of additional COVID relief programs, specifically when we talk about biofuels and reimbursing livestock farmers who had to euthanize their animals during the pandemic?
I know with the farmers who had euthanized their livestock, that $6 billion in funding is available, that $6 billion of additional funding is available. And that funding is also available for biofuels production. So that additional $6 billion that USDA reopened under the larger program is available for both of those groups of producers.
Yeah, it sounded like USDA still needed to work out a few details on that. Do you know where they're at?
You know what? I don't know exactly. I don't know the timing, if they have a specific timing for those, but I know that that's in process. I don't know if it's been released just yet. That would be something I need to follow up on, and I guess that speaks to my third week on the job, doesn't it?
Well, it's one of those things where you know, have to get a little bit of a learning curve in there and adapt, but you know what? You have really an extensive background working in agriculture. Your resume is just so impressive. You've got a background working with a farm service agency, for example. You were the state executive director, was that in Virginia, right? Based off of your experience working in FSA, where do you see the areas of strength and areas of improvement for that agency?
Well, when I think about FSA and having served as the state executive director, you would not find a harder working, more dedicated group of individuals. And they have continued even throughout the pandemic and even through telework to provide a high level of productivity. And so certainly the staff there should be applauded, as should many other staff throughout USDA. I think that there's, no secret that across the agency, USDA is addressing issues of racial equity, and we want to ensure that for farmers of color who have experienced longstanding systemic racism, and they've resulted in a lot of loss of resources and land, that is addressed. And so, you know, with FSA, it has been great to really be able to release the debt relief that was provided in the American Rescue Plan. I think it's really going to help address some of those longstanding issues of racism. And I think we have a great opportunity working with USDA and through FSA to provide some resources to farmers who have not been able to access those resources historically through the agency.
I think there are also some legal battles that go hand in hand with some of the diversity addressing too. And I wonder, does USDA see that as a big hurdle at all to reaching those goals?
We're very much aware of those cases and working with the Department of Justice to try to resolve those cases. But we're continuing to move forward, and we will continue to move forward. We will and have launched the program as Congress has designated us to do so, and we're gonna keep moving with it, and hopefully we can help a lot of people.
What have you been focused on in the last 3 weeks?
You name it. It's almost trying to keep up. Secretary Vilsack, he's an incredibly smart and experienced person, and he likes to move things very quickly. And so we have all of the resources that we have gotten. We want to ensure that we get those resources out of the door. So, you know, we have been looking at the release of the debt relief is one resource that I've mentioned, and focusing on other programs through USDA. I have been learning kind of some of the, as COO of USDA, I'm kind of in charge of many of the operations of USDA, and some of that relates to IT, and some of that relates to budget, and some of that relates to personnel. And I'm just trying to come up to speed with some of those operational issues that I will be responsible for, to make sure that I know what I'm doing and I can make the right decisions for the agency. But I certainly work very closely with Secretary Vilsack in trying to move forward with not only the President Biden's priorities, but some priorities at USDA. And so I've been trying to take some time to come up to speed on all of those as well.
I wondered, have you all had much discussion on the JBS plant shutdowns at all this week?
Yes, of course, that's been top of mind and top of the news media for many. And we, you know, we've worked closely with not only the White House, but the Department of Homeland Security and JBS and others to closely monitor the situation, and we wanted to offer help and assistance to mitigate any potential supplier price issues. So, you know, we've reached out to several meat processors throughout the United States, ensuring they're aware of the situation, encouraging them to try to, you know, accommodate any additional capacity where possible, because we wanted to stress the importance of keeping supply moving. But, you know, we believe that this incident is really unlikely to significantly impact meat availability. And I just happened to see on the news that they announced that everything will be back up online by Wednesday. Now, today's Wednesday, so I'm assuming that may be Wednesday of next week. But that speaks to the fact that there's unlikely to be a significant impact on meat availability. And, you know, really this latest incident that impacts the U.S. supply chain, it really underscores that growing threat of the cybersecurity crimes. You know, we saw it with gasoline just a couple of weeks ago, and the need for companies to really do everything they can to prevent and minimize attacks just like this one. So we're going to continue to, you know, encourage food and agricultural companies that are in operations here to take the necessary steps to protect their IT, to ensure that the supply chain infrastructure is durable and able to withstand these types of challenges. And so we're closely monitoring meat and poultry supply, and we want to ensure there's no price manipulation occurring as a result of this cybersecurity incident. So, you know, hopefully this is resolved and we can get back to what we consider our new normal very soon.
What else is on the horizon at the USDA?
Well, we continue to look at issues like trade. We know trade is critical to the future of our farmers and ranchers. And so, you know, Secretary Vilsack and USDA, we continue to work to pursue a worker-oriented, market-oriented trade agenda, you know, that creates opportunities for the U.S. and removes trade barriers and really, you know, restores America's reputation for that reliability. Our U.S. Agricultural exports are at a record high, so we want to keep the momentum going and, you know, just want to ensure that we support our farmers and ranchers who really depend on the exports. And we want to ensure that our trade policies are beneficial to them because that's of most importance. So that and other issues, you know, we've really put forth a lot of resources in the American Rescue Plan for nutrition, you know, SNAP benefits and others to make sure that families have access to healthy and nutritious food and have an adequate supply of food. And so we're real proud of that. And we'll continue to focus on issues to address climate change. You know, we have a great opportunity now for American agriculture and forestry to be leaders because, you know, I say our nation's agricultural and forestry producers are the original stewards of the land. We're continuing to work with those programs to promote climate smart agriculture and really have worked across all of government to ensure that, you know, we can support climate smart agricultural practices within agriculture and forestry and, you know, have several strategies to move forward with that. We want to make sure that our forests and our wildfire resilient and that we improve research to do that. You've heard some folks probably talking about the notion of carbon credits or a carbon bank, and we're looking how to engage our farmers and ranchers in ideas that are voluntary and incentive-based for them as we move forward. So we continue to support kind of everyone across all of government and President Biden's focus on addressing our climate. So those are just a few things. These are all things we've been talking about in the 3 weeks I've been here at USDA.
It's good to see people filling at USDA, but there are still some positions that have yet to be named. Do you know how soon those could be named?
Now, that one I cannot give you a definitive answer on. They the White House makes those decisions, and we work with them, and we're trying to move forward as soon as we can, but I don't have any specific dates to announce, so I'll just tell you to wait and see.
Thank you. Anything else farmers and ranchers should know about you?
Just want them to know I'm very dedicated to supporting our nation's farmers and ranchers, and will work very hard and do everything that I can to represent them and our agricultural industries all across the U.S., and I'm very, very honored to have this opportunity to serve as Deputy Secretary.